May the Lord help us to commence this service with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? 329.
Let us read together from God's holy word two portions of holy scripture this morning. The first, the book of Exodus, chapter 17. The book of Exodus, chapter 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, "Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And now we will read from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. May God bless that reading of his holy word and teach us how to pray. Most merciful, kind and gracious, yet almighty Lord God in heaven, do permit a little company of poor needy sinners to gather in thy house this day and worship thee. We do thank thee, Lord, for this favour thou hast granted to us, bringing us to thy house. We do thank thee, Lord, for that favour that we can meet undisturbed from the world in thy house on this thy day. Oh, what favour in our evil day in which we live, what favour thou hast bestowed upon us. But, oh Lord, we would seek prayerfully, humbly and rightly that thou would grant us that greater blessing of thy gracious presence amongst us. Oh, that we may know and feel that thou art in our midst. For thou didst say, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. Lord, we are sweetly persuaded that there are more than two or three who have sought to come into thy house and gather in thy name. Then, Lord, do fulfill that promise and be one in our midst. And may those with a desire to see thy face be granted a glimpse of thee. Do come right where we are. Oh Lord, we do pray that there may be those who have come up to the house of the Lord this day with a need, with a desire, with an aching void the world cannot fill, with a hunger and a thirst after thee. Oh, that work of thy gracious Spirit in their hearts, bringing them into want and a need of thee. And Lord, send them not empty away. Oh, may they not leave this house this day without a touch, without their hearts touched. Oh, without their desires being met. Oh, Lord, do come and touch hearts, meet cases. Oh, may we hear thy voice, see thy face, feel thy touch. May there be those brought here, Lord, with that hunger after thee. May they be pressing through the crowd. Oh, may there be a laying hold of thee this day, one and another enabled to sweetly touch the hem of thy garment. May healing virtue flow. May thy great name be glorified. May those dumb spirits be removed and the tongues loosed, and a testifying of thy glories and thy majesty. Oh, that we may not be unthankful, but, oh Lord, may the love of Christ be shed abroad in our hearts, that love that moves, constrains, compels. Oh, that love that removes all fear. Oh, the love of Christ, that, Lord, with hearts touched, oh, they must speak. There must be a testifying of it, for the very stones would cry out, Lord. Oh, may it be shed abroad in our hearts. May thy name be glorified. Do come then, Lord, and make the place of thy feet glorious. Do work mightily in our midst. May thy Spirit come, and oh, may there be the application of thy word. Work in the mouth of this poor sinner, in the pulpit, Lord, and the hearts and the ears of the hearers, may there be the flowing together to the goodness of the Lord, and that may thy word enter in and abide there. May things be done this day of which eternity will testify of, things done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. May there be signs following, the Lord working with them. Oh Lord, with signs following the preaching of thy word. And Lord, do bless us each. We are poor, needy sinners. We're not worthy of the least of thy mercies. we must confess our best disdained and died with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Oh, but we do thank thee that there is that door of mercy, that beggars, stripped of all their own righteousness, are welcomed to come and plead for mercy. Oh, we thank thee for that way, that new and living way, marked out with blood into the holiest of holies. Oh, and may we be found sweetly entering in. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt draw us in all our needs. May we see our every need met in the dear Son of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy beloved Son. Oh, and thou wast well pleased with him. Then may we be found sheltering in him. May we be found in him. Oh, not out of Christ, but in him. Oh, Lord, do bring us each to that point to be found in him. May it be our chief desire, our chief concern. May it be the urgent, pressing case with each soul. Make it the one thing needful. There are many pressing things in this life. And Lord, oh, that the cares of this life, and often we're careful and troubled about many things, but oh, bring eternity as a reality to us. Oh, and may those questions be asked. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven, are thy credentials clear? Oh, may we not be left to drift along, to come and go into thy house and out, week by week, and yet never been brought to points. Oh Lord, do make eternity a tremendous sound to us. Oh, may we be found calling upon thee whilst thou may be found. Oh, we may be found calling upon thee while it is today. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou would have mercy upon us. We know, Lord, it's all of thy grace. And we plead for thy grace to be shown, bestowed upon each soul that gathers here week by week. Leave none out, from the youngest to the eldest. Oh, and those that we know and love, oh, Lord, pass none by. Oh, we plead, we ask, we humbly beg for thy Holy Spirit. For thou hast said, Lord, that the Heavenly Father will grant us that the Holy Spirit to them that ask, that good gift, how thou art greater than us. Thou knowest how to give, we know how to give good gifts to our children. How much rather shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. Oh, may we be found asking, as taught by thy Spirit, Lord, asking, pleading, begging for mercy. Oh, Lord, thou hast never turned away a poor beggar from thy door, pleading for the blood of Jesus Christ to be their only plea. May it be sprinkled on our hearts, on our prayers, on our worship this day. May the merits of thy beloved Son perfume as a sweet-smelling savour our worship. May it ascend acceptably, Lord, through him. And could it please thee to send blessing down We beg, Lord, that thou would have mercy upon us, to have mercy upon our children, mercy upon this land. Do hear the prayers of the prayer meeting before this service, Lord. Grant answers of peace. Give us faith in our prayers to believe truly that thou canst do all things. Oh, to have faith as a grain of mustard seed. We have to confess how small our faith is, how weak our faith is. Lord, do take away our unbelief, and may we make our requests known unto thee and leave them there. Oh Lord, and faith to believe that thou canst do all things. Oh, may the hearing this day be mixed with faith. May there be true profit from thy word. Oh Lord, we do pray that prisoners may be loosed, the blind may see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, those with bound hand and foot with grave clothes, oh may it be loose them and let them go. May liberty be given. May the gospel trumpet sound with no uncertain sound. And Lord, the honour and glory given to thy most precious name. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, oh, be one in our midst, we pray. Pardon all our every sins. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. Have mercy upon our land and nation, our denomination, our churches, the church and congregation here, and personally. Lord, have mercy upon us. Save us from the rocks and shelves. Save us chiefly from ourselves. Lord, work mightily in our hearts. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us this day. We pray that thou pardon all that we've asked amiss. Pardon every sin as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 622. Poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight. 622.
Thank you.
turn with me to the book of the Exodus, chapter 17, and with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. The book of the Exodus, chapter 17, and the 15th verse. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Those who understand the ancient languages interpret this Jehovah Nissi as the Lord my banner. It also apparently can be interpreted the Lord my miracle. And here we have Moses building an altar to the Lord, and there he calls it the name Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle. And what a miracle had taken place. We began with the murmurings of the children of Israel, and how they murmured over their thirst of water. And they murmured against Moses. And their murmuring against Moses, was it not murmuring against God? The way being rough, the pathway being hard, their eyes not looking upward but looking around, and left to themselves, they murmured. And yet, beloved friends, we see, the miracle of an almighty God in his merciful and gracious dealings with his murmuring people. Oh, what a mercy, what a favour. Oh, we wouldn't excuse any murmurings, and we're prone to them, aren't we? We are prone to them. But oh, that unspeakable mercy that the Lord does not deal with us after our sins. He has not rewarded us, dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Moses then, leading the children of Israel onward, after that great mercy, that great miracle, that wonderful testimony of the Lord's faithfulness to his promises, his unchanging love, the waters flowing, the smitten rock and the water flowing, the children of Israel then have this great battle ahead of them. And they enter into this battle, but you see Moses, he goes up to that hill, and he takes with him the rod of God in his hand. And there he lifts up his hand. And you know, this really is Jehovah Nissi, the banner, the lifting up. In the day of battle, in these ancient battles, as they were going into battle, there was a standard, an ensign, a banner that was lifted up either on a spear or on a pole. And it was a gathering, it was a focal point. They were declaring their allegiance to it. They were under that banner. They were under the ensign. They were followers of it. They were called of that people. It was their their banner. And it was lifted up, so not only the enemy could see it, but so could the people. And Moses, he lifts up his hands. Don't we love to read this account of Aaron and Hur, who stayed his hand as he became weary, and how we long to have these Aaron and Hurs amongst the churches of God, in lifting up the hands of the servants of God in prayer, bearing them up, carrying them in their burdens. These Aaron and Hurs who seek the honour and glory of God, the prosperity of Zion, and it's laid upon them to stay the hands of the servants of God. But Moses, his hands are lifted up, and the rod is lifted up, and Israel prevail, and the Amaleks are defeated. There's a great victory. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. The testimony of an all-prevailing God. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord, my banner. The Lord, my miracle. The Lord has done great things for us. And I ask you this morning, have you ever lifted up? Have you ever declared in your heart? Has the Lord ever brought you to that point, having wrought wondrously for you, answered prayer, brought you through a day of trouble, given you a wonderful deliverance, shown you a token, a sign, a seal in your heart, maybe what we call small prayers, but a great thing you've troubled him with, something trivial in the light of eternity and in all the many things in this busy world. You've troubled an almighty God about a small thing in your life, and the Lord has heard and answered your prayer. He's made known to himself to you as I am that I am, the Lord Jehovah, the Almighty God. You've got those spots and places to look back to, prayer heard and answered. It's like a memorial in your heart. It cannot be erased. You cannot deny it. You can look back and say, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He was mindful of me then. The Lord did hear and answer my prayer. I can't deny that. My eyes were lifted up, and he came to my deliverance. The Lord, my miracle. It was a miracle. You've troubled on an almighty God, the creator of the universe. You're a worm of the earth, who deserves nothing. And yet he's been mindful. In all this world, in all the things of this world, he's entered, he's come right where you are. Right where you are. And he's touched your heart. He's touched that mountain. He's wonderfully delivered you, helped you, brought you through. And you you have this testimony. Have you a testimony? Have you a testimony? Moses had one. Moses, this was his testimony. Oh, and he called the altar. He built an altar. And he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. He declared it before the people. The Lord, my banner. The Lord hath done wonderful things for me. The Lord, my banner. The Lord whom I follow, whom I love, not ashamed of him. Oh, but testifying of a great and wonderful God, Jehovah Nissi. We read the 11th chapter of Isaiah. And here, this prophecy speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the root and offspring of David, this branch that shall grow out of his roots. And we read there that in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which will stand for an ensign of the people. He is to be their banner. He is to be their ensign. He is to be their standard. There are two armies. There are those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are those who follow Satan. And the ensign, the standard, the banner, the armies of the Lord God of hosts, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, this ensign. Stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. You see, there's a gathering around the ensign as it's lifted up as they go into battle. It's a warning to the enemy. It's a sign to the enemy. But it's for the people to gather around. And in the fray of battle, the standard is still held up. It's a focal point. It's a gathering point around the ensign. And for he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. What a wonderful, glorious promise. The Lord Jesus Christ said himself, If I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men to me. We think of Moses in the wilderness, the children of Israel, and the Lord sent those serpents, those fiery serpents, to bite them. There many died, many perished. The pleading for mercy. And Moses was told, commanded by God, to make a brazen image, and a serpent of brass in the likeness of those serpents, and to set it upon a pole, to lift it up, set it upon the pole. And, that wonderful promise that those who were bitten, serpent bitten, that they were commanded, instructed to look and to live. To look upon, whosoever shall look upon it. They were to look to that brazen serpent, and they would be the poison freed from the curse, freed from the poison, a full, complete deliverance granted. A simple cure, a wonderful cure, a perfect cure. And you know, beloved friends, those who weren't bitten, it meant nothing to them, did it? Well, they would have seen others being delivered wonderfully, but really, that brazen serpent, it couldn't mean the same to them, looking on who hadn't been bitten as those who had. Oh, and you and I, Satan, sin has bitten us. We're born dead in trespasses and in sins. There's a poison that's coursing through our veins, that the sentence of death is passed on us each. We all must die. We all must come to that judgment seat of Christ. Sin, the curse of sin, the fruits of sin is death. We're under that condemnation. We have this poison that's running through us. Oh, to be shown it, to feel it. You know, we're all bitten with it, but oh, to feel our sins, to be shown our sins, that the Lord would open our eyes, that the Lord would shine that light into our hearts, that the Holy Spirit, the workings of the Holy Spirit, may be made manifest in our hearts to convince us that we are indeed sinners. But more than that, not just the knowledge of our sins, but oh, to be brought deeper into it, to own them as ours. Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned. They're my sins. Oh, you see, we can hear as we come and go into from chapel, from our youth, of sin and of the death and hell and eternity. But oh, we want the Lord to make it a reality to us, and not just to understand with the head knowledge of sin and what it is, but, beloved friends, to be brought to that point of owning our sins as ours. And then, and only then, can we truly, oh, truly confess them. How can we confess that what we know not fully of, but oh, to confess them. Now, I would speak gently here, because it is different with different people. The Lord deals differently with different characters. And some are troubled often that they don't feel their sins enough. They read accounts of others' testimonies and other people's lives and experiences, and oh, they're going through a tick list, and well, I haven't been brought to see hell, and I haven't been almost hung over the pit of hell, and oh, I can't know my sins enough. And beloved friends, ask yourself this. Has the Lord brought you? Because however the Lord does it, and to whatever degree does it, the end point will be the same. The point you'll be brought to, the point that all the Lord's people are brought to is this. They're brought to be sick of themselves and fond of him. Sick of themselves, distrustful of their own hearts. Oh, emptied of everything. They see themselves as polluted, wretched and undone. Now, it's that we we long to see in our congregations. It's that we long to feel ourselves in our hearts, kept at that point, sick of ourselves and fond of him, distrustful of our own hearts, to know our own hearts. In our prayer, it should be this, shouldn't it? Lord, show me enough. Show me enough of myself. Who could bear? I was thinking of this the other day. Who could bear to be shown really what they are entirely before an almighty God, in his view, in their unregenerate state? Who could bear it to be shown what they are fully? But that the Lord, and he's loving and gentle in these things. Oh, he's merciful in these things. He shows his dear people enough of themselves. Enough of themselves to bring them to be distrustful of their own hearts, to be sick of their own self. Oh, to be stripped and to come prostrate to his feet. And it's this: nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. As the Lord then brought you to that point, whatever your experience, have you been brought to these points? Sick of yourself? Beloved friends, have you been brought to see the contagion in your veins, the curse of death, the judgment seat of Christ? Oh, that you've got to give an account. And that great day when you must stand before him. And who shall stand? As the Lord pricked your hearts, we read in Acts chapter 2, I think, that day of Pentecost, the preaching, it pricked them in their hearts. It pricked them in their hearts. And there was this question came up: men and brethren, what shall we do? Have you been brought to that? The preaching of the everlasting gospel, you're reading the word of God. Oh, the Lord has opened your eyes and you've seen eternity, oh, differently to how you've seen it before. Oh, you've seen your insufficiency. You've seen, oh, how can I stand? Oh, the preaching, the Holy Spirit has stirred up your nest, pricked you in your heart. You know, this is it's a wonderful miracle. Oh, this work of the Holy Spirit, and it's a mighty work, and it stirs the heart. You know, and I look back to my early beginnings, and I want to speak as simply as I can this morning, because, brethren, you know, we often speak of the Holy Spirit's work, and it is the Holy Spirit's work. But, you know, when the Lord began dealing with me, I experienced things in my feelings and in my heart and in my conscience, pricks. I experienced these pricks in my heart. Now, at the time, I look back now and I can see it was the Holy Spirit working in my heart. But I wasn't conscious at the time. You see, the Holy Spirit is like that dew that descends silently. And, you know, there was an effect. I couldn't see, but there was an effect in my heart. I look back now. Looking back, I can trace out the work of the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't conscious of it. I was brought to see eternity, my need of a saviour, my lack of ability to save myself, my wretchedness, my undone condition, how lost I was, how I was to perish in my sins for an eternity in hell. And yet, beloved friends, a glimpse of light, hope in the gospel. Oh, I saw a people that were saved. And you know, election slipped away from my mind. My urgent pressing case was, make me one of thine. Dear Lord, let there be room for me. Whatever it takes, Lord, may I not be left out, left to answer, left to face an almighty God. Show me, my interest in the Saviour, that I may be found in him. You see, we love the doctrine of election, and looking back, again, it's a beautiful foundation doctrine, isn't it? Oh, to be loved with an everlasting love, to see the Lord's wondrous choice of his dear people before the foundation of the world, but to a convicted sinner, prostrate in the dust. Oh, under the conviction of sin, you see, it's give me Christ or else I die. Oh, the urgent, pressing case. Nothing else matters. The one thing needful. Oh, beloved friends, have you ever lifted up your eyes and seen the standard, the Jehovah Nissi, the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Has the preaching of the glorious gospel ever been that banner lifted up in your midst? Have you, in your sinful, lost, ruined condition, had your eyes lifted a little above this earth and there see the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men to me. And how he wonderfully takes up those words and speaks this concerning Moses and the serpent in the wilderness. He says this: and as Moses lifted up the serpent even in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That, beloved friends, I can't get my mind around the mercy that flows through those words of our Saviour. Oh, to be found in your need, looking to him, and the certainty of it. Whosoever will. You know, friends, that gathers all those prostrate, wretched, undone sinners that are in the dust this morning. It gathers them all up in that whosoever, doesn't it? It doesn't gather this sinful world, but it gathers up those who are in the dust, have been in the dust, will be in the dust by the working of the Holy Spirit. It gathers them all up. You see, they feel prostrate before him when they're wretched and undone and lost and ruined. They feel that they can't be room for them. They long that there's that urgent need, but oh, how Satan says, well, you're too far off. Others, yes, but not you. You wouldn't have been left to go on this long, go off this far. You cannot be found amongst his children. You've fallen too far away. You're too far off. Beloved friends, that whosoever will. Oh, that gathers them all up in that glorious words of our Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, that gathered up at the feet of the Lord Jesus, looking up to him, that this standard, this banner, is the Lord your banner? Has he done these wonderful things for you? If you're called to declare an allegiance, could you, from an honest heart this morning, and I say this in most reverently, but could you, and could I, truthfully in our hearts say, I belong to Jesus Christ? Could we? Are we gathered around that banner? As the Lord brought us to those points, those places, Satan often tempts us, doesn't he? The Lord's dear people are fearful. Oh, they're often doubting and fearful. You see, we are in a warfare, aren't we? In the hearts of the children of God, there are two armies, not one. Before the Lord begins a work, there's one army, it's Satan's, and he's reigning, running free, undisturbed, unmolested. But when the glorious gospel shines into the heart, that there's an entering in of the Holy Spirit, and there's the other army, the greater army, and their warfare begins, a conflict in the heart begins, a tussle, a turmoil. Oh, there was peace when there was one army, now there's no peace. Oh, and when the Lord at times subdues that other army, oh, the peace that flows, oh, the calmness that flows. But the Lord, he speaks these words. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Oh, there's a glorious setting up of the standard, the glorious gospel. That there's a looking to him, there's a coming to him in need. That there's a glorious welcome to those who are found calling upon him. But when the enemy comes in, and he does, doesn't he? You know, those of you who know and fear the Lord, you know, you may say this morning, yes, oh, I can sweetly, humbly, solemnly say, Jehovah Nissi. I can say Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. I humbly seek to follow him. That the Lord has been my helper. The Lord hath done wondrous things for me. Oh, I am sweetly persuaded that I am amongst his dear children, in the fold of Christ. I look to the shepherd in all my needs. But oh, how Satan, he seeks to come in. And you know, sometimes it's like a flood, isn't it? Well, what does the Word of God say? When the enemy shall come in like a flood. When? Not if. When? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you know, it can feel, you can be brought to feel, oh, shaken. Oh, we sang of it. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, and Satan does endeavour to shake. He does seek to shake the people of God. He seeks to, if he could, to prize them off the rock Christ Jesus. He does go around and about as a roaring lion, seeking to devour whom he may. He does come in like a flood. And you know, it's overwhelming sometimes. You know, and when fears and doubts come in, oh, lower and lower they sink. And you know, David says, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. And oh, what a mercy if you are enabled to. But beloved friends, sometimes you even sink lower than that. You cannot even lift your eyes. Oh, Satan seems to strip everything from you. Every little bit of your religion seems to just to fade and to disappear. And yet, oh, yet there's an almighty heavenly Father who sees the needs of all his dear people. And though they're too feeble and weak and unable and brought so low that they can't lift up the standard. They can't keep alive their own souls. They can't raise their thoughts above the ground. They can't even lift up their eyes to the hills sometimes. They're so pressed down with their sins and their guilt and their fear and the temptations of Satan. Yet the Lord says, my spirit shall lift up a standard. The Spirit of God shall come in to that troubled heart and, lift up a standard, to lift up the Son of God, to lift up a precious Christ. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. He'll never leave his people to perish at the hands of Satan. He won't leave them. Though they feel their sins deserve them to be left, though the treachery of their hearts, though they've backslid and failed, and they're such a grief to them. Often their poor profession, poor prayers, poor witness. How ashamed of him they are sometimes, yet he will not fail them. This glorious Jehovah, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle, the Lord my ensign, my standard. When that enemy sees that the standard, he lifts up that standard and says, Satan, he's one of mine, she's one of mine, it's thus far and no further. He comes again and claims them as his, and floods into their hearts the love of Christ. Gives them a peace which passeth all understanding. And there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. May you and I, as we hear the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, a precious Christ who was lifted up above this earth, literally at Calvary, on the tree at Calvary, that the Son of God, there he suffered. There he bled, there he died, laying down his life for his friends. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And you know, sons of God, they're followers. The ensign, the banner they follow. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his merits. It's his finished work. They're followers of the Lamb. The Lamb has all the glory. The Lamb has finished the work. The Lamb is all the glory. And the Lord himself sweetly persuades his dear children that he's loved them, that he's first loved them. He raises up love in their hearts as a sweet token that he's first loved them. And he wonderfully enters in and gives an assurance and a sweet ability in them to claim him. It's come and claim us as thy portion. And let us lay claim to thee. Then may you and I be brought to that point, to be able to say, in this sinful world, this will be your testimony, and this it will be mine if the favour of God is toward us. And what a mercy if it is, that our testimony is this, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £630, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Adrian Pickett next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 1119. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate at thy feet I lie. Humbly I entreat thy favour, condescend to hear my cry. 1119.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.